A very good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ, and friends and guests in our midst. Let us turn our Bibles at this time, please, to Jonah chapter 1. The message I'm going to share with you this morning covers chapters 1 and 2. And we will look at the gist of these two chapters and the spiritual lessons the Lord would have us to learn from it. Are you running away from God? Or as the song that we have just learned from Brother Steve and Brother Simeon, are you running to Christ instead? So are you running away from God or are you running to Christ? Well, the Lord knows, and I trust that as we listen to His word this morning, we will let His Spirit search our hearts, and that we will be able to see where we are spiritually in our relationship with God with regards to this question. Now, Jonah is sometimes called the runaway prophet. And of course, it is obvious why he has this title, runaway prophet. Let me first give you a very brief introduction of this prophet called Jonah. He was a native of Gath Hepher, north of Nazareth, about an hour's distance. Jewish legend tells us that he was the son of the widow of Sarepta, whom Elijah brought to life. But we do not know for sure if this is true, right? That's Jewish legend. However, most scholars believe that he was probably a disciple of the great Elisha and succeeded him as a prophet. There are two great prophets in the history of the nation of Israel, Elijah and Elisha, all right? And this man, Jonah, was a disciple of the prophet Elisha. He lived in B.C. 784 to 753 in the reign of Jeroboam II. We can read this in 2 Kings chapter 14, verses 25 to 27, where the prophet Jonah helped the king in making the northern kingdom of Israel very prosperous and powerful. But the book of Jonah is very different from the other prophetic books. Why is Jonah different from the other prophets? Because we will observe that in the book of Jonah, it is not full of prophetic messages. It is about the life of the prophet. There is actually one very short message only in the book of Jonah, all right, where he is asked to preach against the wickedness of the Ninevites and to call them to repentance. But this book, four chapters of it, records the life of the prophet Jonah. And the Lord Jesus Christ affirmed the historicity of Jonah in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 to 41. When the Pharisees and the scribes asked him for a sign, he said, "This adulterous generation seek for a sign, but there will be no sign given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth." Right? Talking about his death, burial, and resurrection. So this is a true record of the life of Jonah. But Jonah is a prophet which we want to learn in an opposite way, all right? because he actually teaches us some very negative things as we read his life. So we need to avoid what Jonah does. Let me explain by looking at our first point. We see in chapter 1, Jonah protesting. He protested against God's call for him to preach in the city of Nineveh. And in this protest of Jonah, we see God demonstrating his patience towards the prophet. All right? Under this, we have God's command to Jonah in verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Nineveh is the capital of Assyria, which became a great empire. Later on, God using it to punish his own people for their disobedience. All right? So he was ordered by God to go to Nineveh to preach to them about their sinfulness and call them to repentance. Here is the only time you will find in the Old Testament where Israel is commanded to actively pursue the Gentiles. Go preach to the city of Nineveh, the Gentiles. Right? The first time, the only time in the Old Testament. But for us who are living in the New Testament times, we have a clear mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And as we listen to God's command to Jonah to preach to the wicked city of Nineveh, let us also remember God's call, mandate to the church to preach the gospel to those who are lost in sin, without hope, without Christ in the world. So that's God's command to Jonah. Secondly, in the chapter, we see Jonah's disobedience to God's command. God told him to go east, northeast, more specifically, to the city of Nineveh. But instead, the prophet went to Joppa, found a ship going down to Tarshish, and so he went down into the boat. The direction that Jonah took was the opposite of what God commanded him, where God commanded him to go. Northeast to Nineveh, he fled southwest to Tarshish. That's a statement of defiance from the prophet Jonah. To help us understand, let us imagine, all right? I say imagine, huh? Let us imagine Jonah is in London, right? You know where London is, right? In Europe. And God says, Jonah, I want you to go to Beijing, east. Jonah boarded a plane, and he went to New York, west. Opposite from God's command as to where he should go. Jonah thought he had a choice, but the will of God is not an option, but an obligation. Whatever God's reason, an order is an order, even if Jonah could not understand. He is to obey the order of God, his King. Faith is believing. As the AF shares in our song, in their song, faith is believing that God is too wise to make any mistake. You see, Jonah had a reason for disobeying God. And I'm sure, even in our own experience, we have our reasons for disobeying God, don't we? God says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. But we have our buts. We have our reasons. We have our excuses. why we do not obey His word, right? We think we know better than God. We think we can change the other person, but no one can change a person's heart except God. So God says, Jonah, go preach to the city of Nineveh. Now, Jonah knew about this great city of Nineveh, and he also knew the heart of God. And we will see the reason in our next message, next Sunday, recorded in Jonah chapter 4 for us. But today, I just want you to concentrate on Jonah's protest and disobedience. And we'll talk about his reason another time. So Jonah protested. For a reason that is valid, which we are going to see next week. However, God's order must be obeyed, even if we disagree with God. Because He is our King, Creator, our Master, our Redeemer. And He is the all-wise God. He will not make a mistake if we obey Him and do what He says. But if we try to be clever and we go the opposite direction, you are going to meet with troubles, as you will see also in Jonah's life. Beloved, we see Jonah protesting against God here, but let us apply to our own hearts. Are you in any way, right now in your heart, protesting against God and what He is saying to you? Do you protest against the authority God placed above you? At home, at work, in church. Children in our midst here, teenagers, young people, are you protesting against parental authority God placed over you? Oh, my dad, my mom always set curfews. Must come back by 11. I hate it. You protest against restrictions, against your authority. When you protest against the authorities that God placed over you, you are actually protesting against God. Because the powers that be, Romans chapter 13 tells us, are ordained by God. What about women in our midst? What are you protesting? Are some of you protesting against the husband being the head of the house? By not respecting and submitting to their headship. I know we have many strong and capable women in our society today, even in New Life. And there's nothing wrong with that. Strong, capable women being members of the church. Nothing wrong with that. However, it becomes a problem when these strong and capable women think that they can run the hope or the home or the church and usurp authority over the men. Then something is wrong with that. Because the Bible specifically teaches that the woman should not usurp authority over the men in the home and in the church. I know it's hard to swallow that, but it is better to swallow what God says than to be swallowed by a big fish. Now, to be fair, some men do need to take the blame. Some men need to take the blame, for they are so laid back and not fulfilling their God-given responsibilities. They are not leading their wives. They are not leading their children. They are just so preoccupied with bringing in the bread and the butter. So some men, you should take the blame. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Wives are to submit to their own husband as the church submits to Christ. Let us stop protesting against God's authority structure. and perhaps some men in our midst here, you may also be protesting. I don't know what is going on in your heart, but perhaps some of you may be protesting against the leadership of the church or the authority structure in the church. Like it or not, there are no perfect church. There are no perfect leaders. There are no perfect husbands. God made us different. We are different in personalities. God gifted us differently. And we may not, and we will not, see eye to eye in some things. But we need to submit to one another, as Scripture tells us in Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another in the fear of God. Stay united, Ephesians 4:3, and work as a team despite our differences. The powers that be, beloved, are ordained by God. Only God has the power and the right to put up leaders in the nations, in the home, in the church, and only He has the right and power to remove those in leadership. This afternoon, after the service at 11:30, we have an adult Sunday school lesson, and I'd like to invite you, if you are free and not in any classes, to come and join us on the lesson Submitting in the Fear of God. Submitting in the Fear of God by Dr. Jim Burke. Let's move on very quickly as our time is running out to our next point, God's discipline. Of course, God did not ignore and leave Jonah alone. When we disobey, God acts to chastise us. And this section in verses 4 and 9 emphasizes God's sovereignty over nature. God controls the sea, God controls the fish. All right. And Jonah's lack of reaction of a storm that God sent is significant. You know, at this time of the year, probably, the sailors were not expecting such a storm in the sea. And that is why they sense that it is something unusual, all right? Something God sent. And they cast lots to find out who was responsible for this storm in the sea. But as they were all trying to keep the boat afloat, they found Jonah sleeping in the bow. Sleeping through a tempestuous storm? How many of you have taken an airplane and there was turbulence and you could sleep soundly? No way, right? You will be nervous holding the seat. If you're a Christian, you'll be praying frantically, right? And especially if you have air pockets. You know how the plane drops suddenly at a great height. If you have experienced that, you'll find your heart like want to jump out. What a terrible experience, isn't it? But Jonah could sleep in such a turbulence, tempestuous condition. And that is significant because it tells us that sin hardens the heart. Sin hardens the heart and makes us insensitive. And a believer out of fellowship with God can cause a great deal of trouble, as we see in Jonah. But let me go back to this point. Sin hardens the heart. Yeah, Jonah could sleep in such a situation, but what about us? Are you not sometimes sleeping Sunday after Sunday when the Word of God is preached? Or you may not be sleeping, but you are not paying attention. You're playing with your handphone. Some games on your mobile. If you can listen to God's Word without being pricked and moved, let me warn you to beware. Because God knows. God sees your heart. Pastor Gunn cannot see what you're doing, where you're sitting. Only the front rows. Maybe that's why all of you sit at the back. But I think God's focus is at the back. then to the front. Okay, so better come forward. God sees all of us as we are. He knows what you're doing. And if you can be like Jonah, so insensitive when he's working and when his word is preached, I assure you, God will send you a wake-up call and shake you up like he did to Jonah. And a believer out of fellowship can cause a great deal of trouble because he brought trouble to the sailors who were doing nothing wrong, traveling to Tarshish. But because of Jonah, they were in trouble and danger. And when they found out, they wonder what they need to do. And Jonah say, I'm the cause of the trouble. And I find his statement very, very interesting. He say, I fear God. That's a lie. If he fear God, he would have obeyed God, you know. He's not a man who feared God. At that point, he was disobedient and defiant to God. And Jonah said, throw me into the sea and you will be okay. And you see more compassion, actually, in the sailor who prayed. In chapter 1, verse 10, the verse shows that the men were amazed that Jonah would do something to displease his God. In chapter 1, verse 13, it shows that the heathen sailors had more compassion than Jonah. They were trying to keep the float, keep Jonah in the boat still, despite Jonah's suggestion that they throw him out of the overboard. But when they found that they were failing, they had to do what Jonah said. And of course, they asked God not to what? Lay that sin upon them. All right? Interesting that when they threw Jonah out of the boat, the sea became calm. And Jonah, the sailors recognized that Jonah's God was the true God. So they make offerings to Yahweh. You know what this tells me? This tells me of the mercies of God. That despite Jonah's disobedience, bad testimony as a believer, God shows grace to the sailors and they believe in Jonah's God, Yahweh. You know, of course, sometimes we read in our newspapers and, you know, some churches having a scandal, getting into trouble, and we say, oh no, this is going to damage the reputation of Christianity. It's going to make me hard to preach the gospel of Christ. Yes, it's true. It's true. And that's why we have to be careful how we live, right? However, also do not forget that God knows how to protect his own name and honor, even if his people fail him. We see here in the life of Jonah. Charles Spurgeon used to say that you do not need to defend a lion. You know. So God knows how to defend and honors and protect his own name. But we see that after Jonah was thrown into the sea, that was not the end. There was more discipline coming for Jonah in verse 17. God is not through with him yet, just as he's not finished with us yet. He sends a great fish, and the fish swallows up Jonah. And now God is sending Jonah down to the depths of Sheol, which we see in chapter 2, verse 2. And in this, we learn that God loves us too much to let us run away from him. He loves us too much to let us run away from him. We can never run away from God. Later on, you'll see Jonah learned that. Because whither can you flee from his spirit or from his presence? You can't. God is omnipresence. He's everywhere. So we cannot flee from him. And we see that God sends this fish. What kind of fish? Anyone? Cannot be a shark, right? A shark would have eaten him up and chewed him to pieces. Cannot be a dolphin. Too small the stomach for a man. Some people think it is a whale. A whale. You saw the Sunbeam Choir's song? Some of the nice pictures they drew? I didn't know everything fit in so well. We have even this big fish drawing in the Sunbeam Choir song. And then we have the other part of the message, instead of running away from God, to run to Christ in the new song we learn. Everything just fit together. I don't know what was going to be, you know, really presented when I preached this song, but it came together because God puts all this to send a message to you and me. Now, whatever the fish is, the Bible did not say. All right? It just say it's a big fish, big enough to swallow a full-grown man like Jonah. I don't know how heavy Jonah is, how tall he is, or how big he is. I have no idea, all right? But the fish's belly was big enough to accommodate a full-grown man. So Jonah, instead of taking a ship to the city of Nineveh, went on an underwater journey to Nineveh. Howbeit, not a comfortable one to be in the belly of a fish. Imagine if it's in the belly of a whale, and every time the whale opens up its mouth and the water rushes in, with all the seaweeds or whatever, corals, little fishes, you know, every time you get washed. Now, I don't know how he survived underwater. I think some divers here know you need oxygen, and you can only hold your breath for so long. But Jonah could hold his breath, I believe, for 3 days and three nights, the Bible say. Well, he's the greatest diver, man. The world record. But it is a miracle, all right? God kept him alive under water without any apparatus to help him to breathe. The power of God. You see, if you're in the will of God, no matter how dangerous place you are in, you will survive. If that's where God wants you to be. So at this point, he was in the belly of the great fish, and finally the fish took Jonah to where he's supposed to go. Nineveh. But before we look at that in chapter 3, let's look at Jonah's prayer in chapter 2 very quickly. Jonah learned the hard way that he could not escape God's will. But he was wise enough to run back to God and ask for forgiveness. Right? And this is what we can learn from Jonah. When we disobey God and we are defiant, let us not continue in our defiance. Let us run to Christ. Run back to God and ask him forgiveness. And you will see that God is a gracious God. He answers Jonah's prayer. The fish delivers Jonah to the beach outside of Nineveh. And Jonah was given a second chance to serve the Lord. Now, there have been many more things to say, but for the sake of time, I will share with you some other lessons in our next message. And let us just conclude with some lessons to take away from the book of Jonah. Firstly, we see God's omnipotence. God's omnipotence as he controls the wind, the sea, the fish, and later on, the plant. And all of his power is directed toward a single goal, the reclamation of sinful humans. Reclamation, I think he meant salvation. Both Jonah and the Ninevites. Right, quoted from Kishon, interpreting the minor prophets. Secondly, we see God's patience and pardon. He was patient with Jonah's disobedience, and he pardoned Jonah when Jonah repented and asked for forgiveness. And he gives Jonah a second chance. As we end this message, may you and I apply it to our own hearts and ask ourselves this question: are you running away from God. You say, but I come every Sunday for service. How could I be running away from God? I'm sitting in the pews. I still give my tithes. When I say you're running away from God, it doesn't have to merely do with physical distance. It is your spiritual relationship. You see, are you distanced from Him? You are running away from God if you are disobedient, you see, to His word and His command. So let me apply a few things. Are you running away from His calling to salvation? If you're not saved and you have heard the gospel because you visit New Life frequently and you're still procrastinating, you're running away from God, from His call to salvation. God is not willing that you should perish, but that you should come to repentance by asking the Lord Jesus to forgive your sin. Because only He and He alone who died for your sins on the cross can save you. And I hope today you'll stop running away from the decision of trusting Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, and you shall be saved. May you do it today. Are you running away from His calling to serve Him? Maybe some of you are, and you have a lot of excuses. Oh, my work don't allow it. Oh, my children don't allow it. Oh, my this, my that. You are running away from Him if you're giving God excuses. You may think it's a valid reason, and you will see next week that Jonah had a valid reason, but God had a better plan. God is wiser than Jonah. His thoughts are not our thoughts, because His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and His ways higher than our ways. Some of you who are taking leave not to serve, I think it's time, you know, to realize that your leave has expired. God can extend my leave? No. Took too much leave already. Time to serve me before it's too late. I'm coming again. Look at the world today. His coming draweth nigh. Let our put our hands to the plow. The field is white unto harvest, beloved. Let us put our resources together to bring the gospel to the lost, to build up this church, that it will be a beacon for Him. Don't run away from His calling to serve. And maybe some of you here are running from His will for your life. Perhaps there are others here whom God says, I want you to serve me full time. You're hearing the call, but you are resisting. You say, oh, I have a very comfortable job right now. I'm paid very well right now. To go into full-time own, I've got to make quite a bit of sacrifices. You have your excuses too. But if God speaks to your heart, don't run away from His will for your life. Don't have to wait until He sends you a wake-up call, beloved. May God help you this morning to run, to return to Him, to run to Christ. Perhaps the problems you may be having right now are a result of His chastisement. Perhaps. I say perhaps. And may you listen to Him. May you repent and say to Jesus, all to you I surrender. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. Through the prophet Jonah, and from his life, Lord, we can learn many spiritual applications for our own lives and our relationship with you. And I pray that this morning you will speak to each and every child of yours. And help us, Lord, to know where we are in our relationship with you. Are we closer to you today? Are we loving you more today? Or are we more distanced from you, running away from you? Lord, thou knowest our hearts. There's nothing we can hide from you. And we pray that you will draw us closer to you. And we know that you can use anything if we are stubborn and obstinate to cause us to turn back to you. But this is because you love us and you do not want us to go our own way. But you want us to go your way, which is the best and wisest way ever. Help us to believe you. Help us to obey you. Help us to submit to you. May we hear your voice speaking to our hearts, and may we respond appropriately to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Brother Steve will lead us in the next song.